Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Well, God's word will do what he promised it would do. And while men may promise and fail, even with good intentions, God's promise will never fail. And that's why we want to build our lives upon the promises of God. Because if we build our lives upon the promises of God, we're assured of the end. And we're assured that the end will be good. You see, God has a good plan for our lives. Matter of fact, I can say it this way to you. Surely God will do you good. Now, life sometimes doesn't do you good. And sometimes and oftentimes people don't do you good. But God wants to do you good. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the thoughts I have for you are for your good, to give you a future. How many people today don't have a future? They're discouraged, they're depressed, they see no possible hope for their lives. But God says, I have a dream for you, I have a hope for you. And you know, one of the things that we've done this week, we've had Dino Adventure Days. And it's important. Often people will say, well, what's so important about creation? And why is that important to being a Christian? And why and how does that affect my life? Because, friends, if God didn't tell us the truth about creation, we could say, what is there a truth about the Savior? And so we need to understand that God is giving us a foundation, and we need to understand that foundation. And so we begin the Bible, the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 says this. You know what it says in the beginning? God created the heavens and the earth. And then if you'll read through chapter 1 of Genesis, every time God creates something, whether it's the light and the darkness and separates it and separates the waters from above, from below, whether he is creating the earth and the plants, and then he creates the sun and creates the moon. Whenever he was done creating something, in six literal days, by the way, he said it was good. He said it was good. And then he made man and he said it was very good. You see, It's an amazing thing that when God made us, he had a dream in mind. And God's dream for us was to be part of his family. That's an awesome thing. You know, I remember so long ago, now, a lifetime ago, when we first brought Joshua home, little guy. It's hard to believe that my boys were little guys. And I brought him home, Patty and I brought him home, and we were driving our 1955 Plymouth Savoy. Wow. Electric blue. And we brought that car home. It wasn't 1955 we brought him home. That was just, it was the old car that I had. But you know, we brought him home, and I remember just the overwhelming thought of, my goodness, what have I done? I'm responsible for this child now. I mean, it was awesome, but the weight of that began to come. But you know, that joy we had about bringing home a son. And then when Matthew came, it was just as exciting. And then when Jesse came, it was just as exciting. And so God wants a family. Now the problem is this creator God made a family and told him to multiply, to fill the earth. But something happened, and you know what that was. We don't know when, but sometime in the distant eternity past, somehow, however that works, there was another being, an angelic being that God had made, and he made this angelic being to be a worship leader in heaven. And there came a time that this worship leader, as he, in all of the splendor of heaven, started looking at himself rather than looking at the Lord to whom he was supposed to direct the worship of heaven. That's why there's a danger for worship leaders. Because as they stand in front of the congregation to lead worship, there's something that can happen. They begin to think the people are looking at them. I tell you what, musicians are in some of the most dangerous places in the world because there's that haughtiness and that arrogance of the fans or of even the congregation. And Lucifer fell. There was pride in him. He fell. And when God made man, Lucifer hated it. He was determined to foul the creation of God. Now listen, God was not caught off guard by this. Matter of fact, we could say it this way. The devil is on God's leash.
Yeah.
Just like our little friend up here is on our leash. See? And I think if you had one of these guys, you'd probably want him on a leash with a choke chain. But at any rate, thank you. But at any rate, God will always use even evil, and he'll turn it to our good if we'll allow him to. Because he's God. And so Lucifer came, and the sad thing is this, is God's highest creation, Adam, chose to rebel against God. It was insanity, but he did. He chose to turn away from a God who loved him, provided everything for him, and he turned from him, and in so doing, mankind fell. And so today we can... People say, well, if God was God, why are there wars? It wasn't God. It was Adam. Why is there poverty and why is there sickness and why is there abuse and why is there disease? I tell you, it wasn't God. It was Adam.
That's right.
Adam's choice to turn away from the goodness of God. And therefore, all of us have inherited it. So that's why we need to understand the book of Genesis. Because it gives us the foundation of all of God's redemptive plan. So now the Creator God has turned into the Redeemer God. And so this is what had to happen. You see, God in His goodness had a plan before man fell. And when man fell, God immediately comes to the fore with this thought. He said, I tell you what, Adam, I'm going to send a Redeemer. And He's going to come from the seed of a woman. Not the seed of a man, the seed of a woman. God's plan was now activated. I always like to say it this way. In one of my new books I'm writing about getting back what was stolen from us, I make this comment, and I don't know what better way to say it. Recently we had the church van down to get some body work done. And, you know, you take your car in, it's got a broken fender, it's broken, whatever, and you take it in. You've had this happen recently, didn't you, Miriam? And I bet she had a little more pain over the BMW than I did over the church van. But nevertheless, did you get it back? Was it in good shape? See? Just like new. But see, this is what God did. When He takes us into His body shop to fix us, now we can fly. Now your car can fly. Can you imagine taking that BMW in and they say, and hand you the keys, and it starts flying? That's what God did in His redemption. He wants us to be able to fly now. And that's so exciting. But here's the thing. God, to get into the world, had to create a people that He could come into the world with. Now, you see, if God had come into a Celtic family, and I say that because I'm Celtic. My hair's not red, but it used to be. My beard used to be. God couldn't come to a Celtic family because the parents would have raised him to worship druids and trees. He couldn't come to an African tribe because of what they worship. He couldn't come to a Caribbean tribe because of the voodoo. You do voodoo, you know? And so he created a people called Israel. He gave them the law so that those people would worship the true God, not false gods. And when the time was right, he sent his son, who could be raised in a family that worshiped the true God. And so his son could live a spotless, pure life. And this son was born of the seed of a woman, the Virgin Mary. And now God came. He lived a perfect life. And he went to the cross, and he died in your place. Amazing. And only Jesus could do that for you. And so now, we can say it again. God can look at us and say it's good when we're born again.
Amen.
When we've given our heart to Christ. When we've said, Lord, I see that I'm a sinner and I have need of a Savior. And so the Creator God turned Redeemer God has given His Son for us. And His Son made it a divine exchange, taking your sin and taking my sin and taking my poverty and your poverty and taking my sickness and taking your sickness and taking your abuse and taking the stuff that's hurt you, the shame and the embarrassment and all of the things that this life has brought because of Adam's sin and Adam's rebellion and Adam's fall. And see, now creation makes sense. I begin to understand why God did what He did and how He did it. And so as we've learned from the Scripture, we've seen a God who created. We've seen an angel and a man who've rebelled against God. And now we see God's story coming through history to bring His Son to be the Savior of the world.
Amen.
To die for you and to die for me. But He didn't just die, He was raised from the dead. Because you see, death couldn't hold Him. This is the Creator of life Himself. How do you hold life in death? You cannot. And so the Son of God raised from the dead victorious. And now here's the challenge. We who are sinners need to confess that we believe in the Son. The Bible says very clearly, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. There's not one good man or woman in the earth. Whether it's, you know, even the Pope needs a Savior. You know? I mean, as holy as he might be, he needs a Savior. The presidents and prime ministers of the world need Saviors. The sweetest child that's born needs a Savior because within his heart or her heart lies the seed of sin. You look at a baby and say, oh, that child is too precious. He can't sin. I tell you what, it's already in him. For those of you who've had children, you already know. Doesn't take very long before that rebellion, that anger begins to come out. Even in a child, we need a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we don't just live our lives there. We begin to see there's something going to happen. Payday's coming. Occasionally my wife will bring me home a payday candy bar. And she does it as a prophetic act. She'll bring me a candy bar that payday, and she says, Mark, payday is coming.
Amen.
Well, guys, payday is coming.
Amen.
Now, listen, if you're not a Christian, payday is not going to be a good day. Because you're going to get the punishment of your sin because that's what you've earned. The wage of sin is death. You're going to get paid for all of your sin. Praise the Lord. How many of you got that promise in your Bible promises? The wage of sin is death. I don't put that in there. See, the Bible also says this, that the wrath of God has been stored up for those who are outside of Christ. So there's coming a day where God's judgment's going to come. It's either when you die or when Jesus comes back. But you're going to face the Creator. You're going to have to give an account for what you did in your body. What you did with your life. And if you're not a Christian, if you've not asked Jesus to come into your life, that'll be a very bad day. But every one of us are going to face that day. The Bible says this, though. It says, you know, the wage of sin is death, but, thank God for the but. It says, but the gift of God, say the gift of God,
gift of God.
Is eternal life
eternal
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Christ,
so you see, friends, the judgment, the penalty, the payday that's coming is death if you're outside of Christ. But if you've received the gift of God, it's eternal life.
Amen.
Say gift.
Gift.
If I gave you something, would it be a gift or would it be something you earned? It's a gift. You didn't do anything for it. You know, my guys, all of them home, Jesse now has moved back out, but you know what? They're my sons.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They get things because I like to give them things.
Yep.
They're my. I give my wife things.
Yep.
I told her this morning, she's my jewel. I like to give her jewels.
Oh,
oh golly. Guys, use that. It's okay. But you know, it's true. We give because we love. We give because we want to bless. And God has given us something, but we must receive it.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
You see, it's nothing to say, oh, Jesus, I believe he died for me, and then live a life of sin. No, you've got to receive that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Lord, I feel like I should work for it. No, he said, you just have to believe on me. So the Bible says the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So now it falls back to us. We have a decision to make. The Bible says, all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I see that you had to die for me. I see that you paid a price that I couldn't afford. And Lord, I call on you now and I ask that you come into my life and be my Savior. It's that simple. It's that very, very simple. I'd like you to pray with me right now. Would you pray this? Father in heaven,
Father in heaven.
I see that I need a Savior.
I see that I need a Savior.
And I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus, come into my life.
And
forgive my sin. And give me eternal life. Thank you for now coming into my life and being my Lord and my Savior. Help me to serve you all the rest of the days of my life. And should I fall down, pick me up. Thank you for being my help. Thank you for being my strength. Thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me. And most importantly, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me and rising from the dead. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that for the very, very first time, would you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray with you. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, amen. Amen. It's good. It's right, Ronnie, isn't it? He knows. Amen. You know, it's by faith. It's by faith. And simply this, guys, is my. Well, I don't feel much. Oh, I tell you what, it's by faith.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are some great feelings that come. But to know that your sin is forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, that's one wonderful thing about communion. We celebrate it every week. It's an opportunity for us to say, Lord, you died for me. And you rose again for me. You shed your blood for me, and I receive your forgiveness. I want to tell you today, those of you who have received communion as a Christian, your sin is forgiven. I want to tell those of you today who raised your hand and said, I asked Jesus to come into my life today. God's got a good future for you. He stored up a good thing for you. Your better days are now, and you're going to begin to experience. If you walk with the Lord, you young people need to walk with the Lord. You need to serve Him. You need to obey Him. Now, let me just conclude with this. The Creator God had a purpose and a plan. Matter of fact, Jesus, when He came, said this, my purpose is to give you a rich, full, abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
I want Jesus to fulfill His purpose in my life. How about you? I want him to be able to fulfill his purpose and his dream. Now, he also has a dream, back to the Father's dream, the Creator's dream, and that is that he'd have a family out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every language. That's the Father's dream, and that's Jesus' dream. Now, here's the part where we are Christians now. We're saying, Lord, you're now my Savior, and you're now my Lord. What is your dream now for my life? Now, here it is, guys. You can't go live your life doing whatever you want. Because when you do, guess what happens? You get into trouble, just like Adam did. Adam said, I'm going to live my life the way I want to, and look what he did to us. But thank God for Jesus. If we'll look and see what he did for us, we'll see that it's a far greater thing. But friends, now we need to say, what is God's purpose for my life? Young people, listen to me. Children, listen to me. God has a plan for you. It's a good plan. And if you'll follow him, your life will be blessed. If you choose to follow the gang, if you choose to follow the group, if you choose to do this or to do your own thing, I tell you what, you're going to have a hard way in life. You know, how many parents know, don't go that way, son. Daughter, don't do that. Don't do that, because I know what will happen if you do that.
That's right.
And then they do it and you go, oh. Yeah. And then as mom and dad, you put your arm around them and you cry with them. And you try to pick them back up, knowing that if they hadn't done that thing, whatever that thing was, their life would have been better. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
For your own life, man. Someone told you, don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm going to do what I want. And you end up going, that was the dumbest thing I ever did.
Uh-huh.
So young people, the rest of you can kind of listen to you. You need to find out what God's purpose is for your life. So, well, what if he wants me to do something I don't want to do? Oh, there's where you're wrong. God made you. He knows what makes you work the best. He knows what brings the best happiness and joy into your life. And if you'll say yes to him, you'll discover that, and you'll begin to find out that what his plan for you is good. I want God's plan for my life to be worked out. Now, we find it by being in fellowship with other Christians. We find it by reading the Bible. We find it by spending some time in prayer. I encourage you to do those things. For those of you today, the two or three of you that raised your hand today, I want you to make sure you read your Bible every day, even if it's just one verse.
Amen.
If you're a young person, just get in Proverbs. I tell you what, if you're old enough to read, you can read the Bible.
Right.
If you're old enough to read, you can get into Proverbs and read Proverbs. Maybe those some of the things in Proverbs you won't fully understand, but you know what? Ask mom or dad about it. They'll help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, and he'll teach you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's seek the purposes and plan and will of God for our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He's got a good plan. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe it too. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.